on Roadshow Bits and Pieces.
Roadshow.
Lots of James and Louise is still to come.
So let's give a great Radio 1 Roadshow welcome to
the Radio 1 Roadshow.
And now, celebrating half a century since its debut in 1973, Sean Dilley talks to the household names who brought you the world's biggest travelling outside broadcast event, going coast to coast every summer. For the next hour, we'll tell that story in my Radio 1 Roadshow at 50 on the BBC.
Oh, yes, who better than the voice of the Roadshow, Adrian, just to give us that big introduction. Thanks for hanging out with me, and if you were one of the hundreds of thousands who flock to see it each year, or just one of the many millions who are glued to their listening devices waiting to play along with those on stage taking part in Bits and Pieces or the Mileage Game, you are going to love the memories that we have in store during the next 60 minutes, I promise you, as we hear the personal recollections from a multitude of the biggest stars who fronted the Radio 1 Roadshow and those who adopted a key role behind its enormous success, including, of course, the person who was there from day one, the incomparable Smiley Miley, who will guide us through the Roadshow's golden era from the 70s and 80s to the early 90s. But let's start, naturally, at the beginning, when future Radio 1 controller Johnny Beeling was taking a family trip to the south of France.
I was sitting there one night, you know, having a glass or two of wine, and I saw these people walking off with their aluminium chairs. And I thought, where are they going? And as I walked around the campsite, I think it was Set or Agde, somewhere down in the south of France, they were sitting there watching a show being done from the side of a large truck with a stage. And it was, I can only describe it as something like a Sunday night at the London Palladium, but on the radio. They had variety acts and singers and dancers and what have you. And they would record this and broadcast it. I think it was either Radio Monte Carlo or something like that. Anyway. So I took the idea back to London and wondered if I could do something similar to promote Radio 1. And I went to my boss, who was then Derek Chinnery. He was the head of Radio 1. And I said, look, I'd like to take a travelling show and take it around the seaside resorts of the UK during the summer holidays. And so that was the start of the Radio 1 Roadshow. And, of course, the BBC didn't have a vehicle that was suitable for it. And one of our producers suggested I talk to a man called John Miles down in Bristol, who managed Adge Cutler and the Wurzels.
Yeah, yeah.
And they said, I believe John Miles has a Pantechnicum with a side that opens that would sort of suit your purposes. So we went down and saw John Miles, and he said, well, I haven't got that vehicle now, but I think it's a good ideal, as they say down in Bristol. He said, why don't I get my brother Tony Miles, to build this, because he works in the car industry, and we'll hire it to the BBC, and Tony will provide a Range Rover to tow it round. So we literally designed it almost on the back of a cigarette packet in John's lounge, and John and Tony got the vehicle built, and that was the start of it.
And I found an 18'6", I remember it, four-wheel farm trailer. We built it. We didn't know what we were doing. I'd never towed a trailer caravan in my life. Everything went there. We kept it all running. And it set out that they were going to do 6 weeks roadshow, start in Newquay on July the 23rd, 1973.
Presented. Roadshow. Coming soon. Roadshow. 5 till 7. Roadshow. Monday through Thursday. Roadshow. Around the coast.
I left at 1 o'clock on the Sunday before the roadshow on the Monday. There was no M5, no motorways or whatever. And it took me 8 hours to drive down the A38 to the Grand Atlantic Hotel in Newquay. But when we got there, I didn't get there till 9 o'clock. And they said, the council yard is closed. So you're going to have to sleep on the beach with it as security. So we parked it on the beach. And there's no sleeping on the beach in Newquay. Then and now, and all night, what are you doing here? You can't stay here. What's the Radio 1 Roadshow?
It was an amazing achievement because it took us 6 weeks to go around the entire coastline of the UK. It was a ridiculous schedule. And the lads who were the engineers who were running this had to set it up first thing in the morning and get it operational by mid-afternoon. Then we would do a warm-up with the crowd and then do the live broadcast. And then they had to pack the whole thing up again and drive it to the next venue. Mm. And I really established a much more difficult schedule than I ever was ever possible. I mean, it meant they sometimes didn't get to the site till midnight or 2 o'clock in the morning, and then they had to start rigging again next morning. But it worked, funnily enough. You know, yeah. It was amazing, the success of it, and people did want to come and see, because you have to realise the DJs were something like superstars.
Tonight with Alan Freeman.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome once again to the Radio 1 Road Show. Today we're from the Pool Park in Dorset, a big crowd outside here. I know you want to hear some music. We're going to come out and talk to you very soon. But in the meantime, let's have some music coming from Slade. Here we go.
Alan Freeman was chosen as the DJ to launch it. He was certainly a huge name, one of UK radio's biggest stars, but not somebody who was usually associated with entertaining big crowds and a live situation. But he proved to be a great choice.
Alan, at 2 o'clock or whatever, he would come down, sit on the stage, just talk to the punters, talk to the listeners and whatever, sign autographs, walk along. He didn't mind. And I think that from Alan to all the DJs, because we were public and there, they didn't fear to walk along and meet people and greet and have a photograph.
Alan, how important is it to you to come out and meet the fans like this?
Well, it's very important because, you know, as a disc jockey, one is playing music for everybody, and particularly when you're travelling in an open caravan, during holiday time in resorts, you're going to meet the public en masse and all kinds of people, and all kinds of people listen to the radio and communicate with pop music. So I think it's very important that you come out and say hello to them personally.
But Radio 1 Club has been going for quite a long time now.
Yes,
this is basically
right.
The same thing, but outdoors.
Well, it's basically the same thing, except that in Radio 1 clubs, you're either in a youth club or a university. When you're with the Radio 1 Roadshow, you're out on holiday with the holiday crowds.
Of course, it's gone down in history now, so very well known that Fluff, Alan Freeman, was the host of the very first week of the Radio 1 Roadshow. But its producer was Stuart Grundy.
Oh, we had absolutely marvellous reaction. I mean, yesterday at Torquay, unfortunately, it was raining for almost the whole afternoon, but people stuck it out and I had a marvellous time. I hope so, anyway. And the idea really is to communicate. We hope that people this afternoon, for example, again, have a lot of fun here, and that's going to be communicated somehow to the listeners.
That first year, the show went out between 5 and 7 in the afternoon. It proved to be the wrong slot. Because, in the greatest respect, everybody being out on the beach, they've all got their tinnies, their cans of beer and whatever, and they're all there, all larding it up at 5 o'clock, all wanting to go. And we're there to do a radio show.
Last night, the road show drove along the A259 across the Romney Marsh. We're parked in the Marine Gardens, Marine Parade, Folkestone, and we're just getting everything together for the 4 o'clock road show, OK? I hope you're going to join us there in Folkestone, or on the air for this afternoon's road show, so hold tight.
So that second year of 1974 was a pivotal one in the history of the road show, as the start time for it moved back just an hour to 4 o'clock, albeit for 1 year. We also saw the emergence of the legendary Radio 1 Goody Mobile, and Tony Miles became... Haven't heard this for ages.
Are you ready? The Smiley Miley. We like him better that way.
I went to a meeting in Broadcasting House, I think a week or 2 weeks before the road show, and we'd already agreed that we would supply a vehicle called the Radio 1 Goody Mobile. And then all of a sudden, they've got a cart machine and whatever, and they play a cart and it says, check out the 247 Goody Mobile with Smiley Miley.
Hey, you get your Radio 1 goodies from the 247 Goody Mobile parked right over there. It's oozing with good things like bags and t-shirts and hats and posters and stickers and badges and rock on. Take home a memory anniversary of the Radio 1 Roadshow and check in with Smiley Miley. That's my man, the man with all the teeth and the happy guy he is, too, on the Goodie-mobile. You'll just love him.
And it just grew and grew. And I think we had probably, I don't know, 6 or 7 items in the beginning, and we didn't know how it was going to go.
Hip cats wear hip hats.
So get in gear with some new headgear. Radio 1 hats make people smile, they make you feel good,
and make you look 5 pounds thinner.
Be a winner in a Radio 1 hat, pussycat. Why? Because they're just perfect.
Meow. That second year, I employed a guy from North Wales. He was a friend of Roscoe, and he used to do discos with Roscoe. And his the name it was Spot On John. And he had a blue transit van. He towed a Goodie-mobile, and I didn't have enough money to have a hotel room. He would sleep in a sleeping bag in his van, and I slept on the perch on the counter in the Goodie-mobile the second year.
Don't forget Smiley and the Goodie-mobile. They're waiting to serve you right now. With Radio 1 offers that are just unreal.
All the gear they've got there, oh wow.
There's mugs and hats and snazzy stickers, T-shirts, pins, and Gary Day best knickers. All they're waiting for you.
Hey, why not take home a souvenir of the Radio 1 Roadshow? There's so much to choose.
It's all on the Goodie-mobile.
In 1975, the decision was made to move the Roadshow into what became its truly iconic slot of 11 a.m. until 12:30 lunchtime. This was also the period when joining the crew was the much-missed executive producer, Tim Blackmore.
I had the great pleasure every Sunday night of travelling to whichever region of the country the next week's roadshows were going to visit, and I would take up a couple of boxes with all the records, the new jingles, the scripts, any promotional materials that were needed. I can remember when we had to take the cars and the wagons into St Ives the night before, because very narrow streets, we could not go in following the one-way system. So we had to go in reverse on the one-way system to get the vehicles in. And so we were rolling in after midnight, and both sides of the streets lined with crowds of people welcoming the Radio 1 Roadshow.
Unbelievable, yeah.
It was phenomenal. And I mean, you know, some of those big, particularly the West Country beaches, you would get easily, the police would say, 20,000 people turning up. You know, I mean, can you imagine it, folks? Why would 20,000 people turn up to see a man play records? I mean, how can that be attractive? But it was, and it was a phenomenal success.
What a beautiful stretch of the country this really is. We started the Radio 1 Roadshow on Monday in Tenby in South Wales. This morning we were in Weston-super-Mare, and this afternoon we're making our way down to Ilfracombe. We'll be there tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock on the West Promenade. If you're around that particular part of the country, drop in and see us. If you're not, tune in to 247 tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock for the Radio 1 Roadshow live from the West Promenade in Ilfracombe.
And there's no mistaking that voice, is there? Another one of the Radio 1 starters that thousands upon thousands of people were flocking to see. By this stage, every summer, it's David Hamilton.
I love doing the road shows. I mean, going up, working to audiences, and a few silly games like Spot the Mileage with Smiley Miley and Bits and Pieces. And there were enormous crowds there, and particularly when the weather was good, travelling around the seaside resorts was fabulous.
In the summertime, here on Radio 1, David Hamilton brings you so much fun. From 3 till 5, special guests and special groups to blow your mind. Here at Mallory Park, David Hamilton on Super Radio 1.
Thank you very much indeed. Welcome to the Radio 1 Fun Day Out from a very congested Mallory Park.
Of course, we did some that were not seaside resorts. One of the famous or infamous ones that I did was the one from Mallory Park, which I compared with Annie Nightingale. The guests were the Bay City Rollers.
Hi there, Radio 1 listeners. We're the Bay City Rollers.
And as David has just mentioned there, his co-host for this perilous roadshow was Annie Nightingale.
Mallory Park had a sort of racetrack. Inside it was a lake. In the middle of the lake was an island, and on this little island, that's where the Radio 1 studio was set up, and that is where the rollers were going to land by helicopter. And all that happened is that the fans, so desperate to get to them, will first of all risk being run over by racing car racing around the racetrack, ducking and diving in between that, then throwing themselves into the lake. That was that it was wild and memorable. And things like that don't happen now.
Roller Mania was the big thing at the time, and they were absolutely swamped and besieged by their fans. So to get away from them, they jumped onto a boat on the lake, and all their fans jumped in fully clothed and swam after them.
We have the most amazing scenes going on here this afternoon, as you can no doubt hear, partly going on behind us since the rollers have been here. We have a little river surrounding, two various parts of the track here, and the girls are actually swimming across the river to try and get at their idols. In the meantime, their idols are trying to get away.
And while all this madness ensued, the producer, whose job it was to retain some kind of order, at least in terms of the broadcast, was Dave Atkey.
The police said, we've got to shut the road show down. Not broadcasting-wise, but we've actually got to fold it up, drop the lid down, pull up the stage and everything else.
Right, so welcome back to the David Hamilton Show from Mallory Park this afternoon. You've probably gathered that we have a slight amount of chaos here this afternoon, and one of the reasons for that is that with us we have the Bay City Rollers, who've flown all the way up from Bournemouth. Hey, we were all down there last night, and actually Leslie has been doing part of the flying today, right?
That's correct.
how long has this flying thing been going on, Les?
Oh, I've been at quite a while now.
The police had a big enough problem with the crowd wanting to swim across the lake entry and just there. So I convinced the police to stand around a goodie mobile, stop it from being lifted off. And I said, I'll give you a Radio 1 goodie bag. And, you know, what a Radio 1 goodie bag, a T-shirt, a sticker and a badge and whatever would do.
In the end, it all went well. It made every national newspaper, as far as I know.
This is my Radio 1 Roadshow at 50 with me, Sean Tilley, here on the BBC. The summer of 1976 was such a magical time for all of us of a certain age, but it was also the first year that I myself went along to see the Radio 1 Roadshow. In fact, I witnessed dear old Ed Stewart on stage that year.
Three young lads have literally dropped in to the programme. To everybody listening at home as well, there's going to be a lovely surprise. So let's give a great Radio 1 Roadshow welcome to the Wurzels!
And another hero who became a great friend to me, Roscoe. In fact, I recorded this one whilst we were on a family holiday on the northwest coast, and I've got it here on a C90 cassette. It says WH Smith and Son on the label. That's how old it is. And I'm going to play it to the Emperor right now, get his reaction to this. It's the first time that it's been broadcast on the BBC, or anywhere else for that matter, since 1976. Here we go.
Ever and ever, my love. Debbie Strusos. We head towards noontime on 247 with love from Liverpool to the entire United Kingdom. Down of the Bee Gees. You should be dancing. I am very pleased to announce that Smiley Miley has made it to the Radio 1 Goodie Mobile safely from Borkham Airport and is now functioning normally yet again. Sunshine and sunburn, rub it in.
Radio 1 Roadshow, bits and pieces.
Sean, how about that? Wow, yeah. Tuesday, the 3rd of August, 1976 at the Harbor Band Arena in Morecambe.
That's the one.
I have to tell you, I listen to that, I don't even recognize me. There was so much energy back in the day.
Do you recall anything?
You know, I remember that time very well because it was the last full week I ever did on the road show.
Is that right?
Then I left Radio 1.
Oh, of course.
I left them the following month to return to the USA for a while. But what a summer that was in 76, and what great days they were in the pioneering days of the Radio 1 Roadshow.
There was, of course, also Noel Edmonds, who was hosting the Radio 1 Breakfast Show back then, as well as Top of the Pops, and was about to make Saturday morning TV his own on the BBC. So there's no doubt that he was the DJ to see live.
Noel was obviously from early stages when Noel was at Radio 1 doing Roadshow. He was a big star.
Today from the North Bistro Beach, Newquay, with
Radio 1 Roadshow, the right sound, the world.
Thursday, a beautiful, beautiful day. The roadshow's moved on from Butte, and we are in a delightful place. We're at New Quay. We're on the beach.
So many people turned up. People would take their summer holidays. They would write to my office and say, which week is Neil Edmonds doing, or which week is Tony Blackburn or David Hamilton doing? And then they would go, and whole families would spend the week following the roadshow for a week in Cornwall or in around the northwest coast or whatever.
Then the DJs were cut off to take their families on it as well.
Exactly. It was the nearest thing to Cliff Richard's summer holiday film, but it was for real because all the crew travelled together for the whole week, and there was lots of sort of after show parties, guitar playing on the beach, barbecues.
So we would pitch up on a beach, have a barbecue, play rounders. The punters would come and join us. We had something great there, or we go to the Dodgems, or we go to the fun fair. You know, we don't go when it's just to ourselves. We want to be part of it. And that was it. The great PR for Radio 1, what Johnny thought his idea.
Now, in all its years of operating, the roadshow was never halted by any kind of health scare, thankfully. But it nearly was in the summer of 1978 when Paul Burnett had a nasty encounter with a wasp on the southwest coast. But initially, his producer was less than convinced.
Brian Patton, the producer who used to look after the West Country gigs, which we all loved doing, by the way, because it was always the weather was always great. So I always did the warm-up. You know, you do a warm-up, get the audience involved, and so they feel like they're part of the whole thing. And I would then always have a half a lager, non-alcoholic, of course. Always have a, you know, just before I went behind the mic, because I get a bit dry in the throat after all this talking and everything. So anyway, I took a sip. I was looking at the audience. I took a sip out of the beer and didn't look at, you know, you don't. And I felt this, there was a solid object, and it went down my throat, and I realized immediately it was a wasp. And Brian Patton saying, you know, getting everybody geared up. And I'm on my knees and I'm retching and making dreadful noises. Trying to bring out. And the only bit that came out was the top half, which is not the half that was doing the damage, because it stung me inside the throat. But Brian, he thought I was doing it for a laugh. And he came and said, this isn't very funny. I said, it's not supposed to be. I've got a wasp. And I explained. And so I went on the air, did the first link.
Today, live from the Summerlees Beach at Butte with Paul Burnett.
I have been stung by a wasp. Get this, I swallowed it, and it stung me on its way down. The naughty little swine of a thing. However, I'm sucking on an ice lolly in order to try and bring the swelling down, and my head is shrinking. Great. The taste of honey starts us off with boogie oogie oogie, oogie oogie oogie.
We put a call out into to the crowd and said, is there a doctor? And a guy came forward and he said, I'm a doctor. What we need to do, we need to get to a pharmacy or a doctor's, and we need to get an injection. We need to get it into and fast. I drove through the crowd, straight into the town with lights flashing, pulled up, and Bute is a very small roads as well. Yeah. Pulled outside his pharmacy. This doctor ran in there. He come out with his syringe and whatever. We went back. We drove up there. We didn't attempt to drive through the crowd again because we're driving backwards, if you want to say. I think it's about 5 minutes to go. And in London, they were saying, don't worry, we'll take it for London. There's, you know, we would say there's a medical or whatever. So with that, we raced up there, got Paul off after DJ desk, ran a corner, boom. Injected him. Now, by this time, Paul is still carrying on talking. His voice over that hour and a half from 11 o'clock to 12:30 changed dramatically. I'd probably say that was the only life-threatening or accident or anything that ever happened in my 22 years.
Well, the reason we had two records in a row, which we don't normally do on the road shows, because while those were playing, I was at the back of the caravan having an injection, an antihistamine or a histamine injection. I don't know exactly what the medical term is, but on my grateful thanks to Dr. Eames, I must confess that I've always had a hankering to shout out, you know, is there a doctor in the the house, although it's a bit awkward with the fact that we're outdoors, but it certainly was quite dramatic and exciting, and I've had the inoculation, and he said it will make me a bit sleepy. He obviously doesn't know the way I work. He won't notice the difference.
But I got through it. I got through the show, and it made the front page of a lot of the tabloids anyway. Yeah. The Times, they didn't... there was not a word. Not a word in the Times.
Another one of the network's humongous stars who just love whizzing around the country and meeting his audience every year was Radio 1's original poster boy, Tony Blackburn.
When they got the Radio 1 Roadshow with all the goodie mobile and all that sort of stuff, I thought that was terrific. And you'd turn up in Cornwall, you know, and the crowds were amazing. And I remember in Blackpool, it was just amazing. There was nobody. And in those days, we didn't have people guesting on the programme either. We didn't have groups playing live. It was just us.
We're here at the Princess Parade Blackpool with the Radio 1 Roadshow for a very special event this morning, which is the start of the Miners' Bed Push, where 7 Yorkshire miners and 3 Lancashire miners are going to push Simon Bates around in a bed over around about 175 miles from Blackpool to Scarborough.
I remember particularly being in, I think it was somewhere in Plymouth or something like that, in August, and it was pelting down with rain, and Smiley Marley, he was selling an enormous amount of umbrellas. And what he did is he put a pound extra on the umbrella because he just bought these umbrellas and he stuck a Radio 1 logo on them and sold these things off as Radio 1 umbrellas. So all that was going on, but it was great fun. And I particularly loved doing the West Country. You know, we had a lot of fun doing that.
Right, this is the time we have our special joke challenge. The world's greatest living comic. And here I am, folks, in front of you right now. A little cheer for me. Thank you. A bit more of a cheer for me.
Follow the sun with Radio 1.
Setting the scene for each live broadcast was the show's opening announcement, confirming the roadshow's location that day and which DJ or DJs were hosting it. In the early days, these were done by Nicky Horn and a very young future Radio 1 breakfast star, Mike Smith. But the voice most of us immediately think of, after a slight detour in the direction of Al Matthews, is, of course, Adrian Just.
Today, live from Yabbaland, in Sandown.
You could play those intros now, and it would put you back to memories. And when you play that opening car here, live, da-da-da-da-da-da, whether it's Blackpool, Clacton, Margate, Weston-super-Mare, it came alive.
Apart from a brief spell by Tommy Vance in the mid-80s, Adrian's instantly recognisable pipes became an audio postcard, the sound of summer for nearly a decade and a half, overseen by producer Dave Price in a tiny little studio that could be found at Radio 1's London HQ, Egton House.
Today, live, I was up there, right through the 80s, intros, outros and trailers. The fun starts at 10, live on air at 11. But as we got older, we applied more gravitas and hammed it up a bit. And me, never too far away from being the old actor manager, Dave said, look, let the Timps establish and then let them know you're coming. And that's how the big roadshow was born. And we used to knock the whole 7 weeks worth off in around 3 hours. Except we recorded in a little studio in the sub-basement at Egton, nicknamed The Pit. Rightly so, because it was about 6 feet above the Bakerloo line from Oxford Circus. It'd be today, live. Hang on, train coming! Without the London Underground, I think we'd have done them in after time.
And all next week, the roadshow's in Wales. Peter Powell will be in Pwllheli, Aberystwyth, Tenby, Porthcawl and Barry Island. Listen each day for the exact location and look out for the posters in your town. He'll be on stage at 10 with a live show at 11.
From the late 70s, for the best part of a decade, one of the main attractions every summer by now was Peter Powell, who to this day remembers his time on the roadshow extremely fondly, and one person in particular.
The great Smiley, Miley. Always high japes, always unprecedented enthusiasm and energy. Rain or pour with rain, he'd still make it sound as if we were in glorious sunshine. No show was complete without him.
From Ilfracombe yesterday, we took the road across Exmoor through Simon Staff, Dunster, and then along the A39 through Willetton and Washford to Bridgewater, and up the M5 to Smiley Miley Country and Weston-super-Mare.
The road show was a collective of of people who are out there to entertain in the traditional way of standing on the stage and playing games and playing music.
Summer Radio on the Peter Powell Show. Hear his music grow on the Peter Powell Show.
But it was a jingle of Peter's that was sung by Chris Rainbow that he has the most cherished memories of.
I couldn't wait for the first burst of summer in the year and to put it on. And I every single year I'd wait and think, this is the moment. And it was tailor-made for the Radio 1 Roadshow. I mean, and if it was actually a beautiful sunny morning when we were doing the Roadshow, which we dreamt it would be, crystal blue waters, lovely golden beach, 10,000 people. Summer radio jingle. Good morning. Thank you.
Summer radio on the Peter Powell Show. Feel his music flow on the Peter Powell Show. Moving on the road show, Radio 1.
Just like Peter Powell had done during his first year of fronting the Radio 1 Roadshow. In the summer of 1980, Andy Peebles also visited Wales.
I caught the train, I think from Llandudno, and the waiter in the restaurant car, because I was starving, having done the programme, was a Scouser. And he came up and he said, right, he said, do you like cabaret? So I said, what sort of cabaret? He said, wait till I ask this lot what they want. And he turned around and he said, right, make it easy for me. You can either point at the menu or write it down. And they were North Walian Welsh speakers who refused to speak English.
Today, live from Cornhill, Port Madoc, with Andy.
That was the first year. The second year, I remember we started in Great Yarmouth, and Johnny gets all the credit here because he started the radio career of Lenny Henry. Lenny was invited by Johnny, because he was appearing in Great Yarmouth for the summer season, to come and do the show, and he just, I mean, I just walked backwards. I thought, right, you're not on the same planet as this fella.
Today, live from the St. Nicholas Recreation Ground, Great Yarmouth, with Andy Peebles and special guest Lenny Henry!
Johnny Beeling was also responsible for taking the Roadshow to Northern Ireland for the very first time in 1982. He would produce it, and chosen to present it was the kid, David Jensen.
It was a great way of getting feedback from the Radio 1 listeners, and we used to do autograph signing sessions at the end of the Roadshow, and that would keep you behind the crew trucks and things.
Oh, yeah, the goodie mobile, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Talking to the Radio 1 fans that were there and getting a real sense of audience. And those Roadshows were welcome to, because you knew that you were... It was like if the Radio 1 calendar had your picture in for December, that meant that you were going to be on air until December anyway. And the road shows were always a seal of approval, I always used to think.
The Radio 1 Roadshow!
Next week, the Radio 1 Roadshow starts its 10th anniversary tour in Northern Ireland. Tuesday, it's in Port Rush. Wednesday, Carrickfergus. Thursday, Bangor. And Friday, Newcastle County Down with DJ David Jensen. So look out for the posters in your town.
I've got some lovely memories of Northern Ireland. The people are incredibly nice to me and very hospitable, very generous with their time.
We could never do the Monday in the first year because it was the Orange Day March. We were welcomed with arms open. It was fantastic. I'd never been to Ireland. We went from Belfast to Port Rush, down to Newcastle, right on the border for Southern and Northern. Fantastic time.
Hello, I'm Sean Tilley, and this is my Radio 1 Roadshow at 50 here on the BBC. Now, for over 10 years, Steve Wright would become one of the Roadshow's biggest draws. Huge audiences would flock to see him, his afternoon boys and posses, plus a whole host of memorable characters. But Wright, he recalls just how nerve-jangling his first one was. Christmas, and it was a feeling that never really left him.
I went missing after the show. I went missing to sit down because it was just very traumatic. You know, I'd just been on the Radio 1 road show and done all the whole thing. I had the Radio 1 jacket on and everything, and I thought that went very well. But I'm going to have to sit down now and just ponder what I've just done. And then everybody was looking for me. They said, well, what's the matter with you? They want you in the goodie truck and do autographs. I said, oh, okay. And I got a bit of a telling off from Johnny Beerling, who was running the show down there. But I said, I'm terribly sorry. I didn't know. I actually didn't know. Nobody told me. So anyway, I went down there and stood for 2 hours. 2 hours and did the autographs.
The penance sort of thing, yeah, right.
I tell you what, when I got here yesterday, when the team got here, I thought this was going to be a quiet gig.
And what was impressive about the road show, as it was then, it used to go from town to town like a circus. People really did come out and see it. And it was always good weather. I used to come on, and it was terrifying. If you were doing it, it was terrifying because the pips would come on at 11 and it'd all be silent. You'd previously been warming up the audience and then it would all go quiet and it would go beep, beep, beep.
The Radio 1 Road Show.
Today, live from Summerlee's Beach, viewed with Steve Wright.
Nobody here at all.
And then suddenly you were on. And you're thinking, okay, you know, 12 million listening, 25,000 people in front of you, the pressure's on.
We are at the bottom of a beautiful, picturesque sand dune that you wouldn't believe. There is sand everywhere. Hang on, there goes a camel. There goes a camel at the top there. He's got the hump. The sea is behind us. The sea is beautiful and blue. There are jellyfish floating in it. And it's just, I would say, how far away is it, Dave? It's about, what, a quarter of a mile, less than a quarter of a mile behind us, and the tide is on its way in, and no doubt will wash us away in the fullness of time.
We played a game where you all put a pound in, you had to turn a card over, and if you ended up in the middle, you took the collection at the end. Steve always wanted to say, Smiles, you have a side bet? I've turned two cards over. Higher loser wins, see? And I say, nah, oh, go on. It was silly, you know. And it got out of hand this night, and we were at the Geisha Hotel in Clacton. So Steve says, come on, Smiles, my car keys and your car keys. And this is stupid on a flip of a coin. He loses. So I've got his estate car from outside. So he says then, I'll tell you what, I'll put a weekend for you and your wife in New York. Turn the card. I win it. And we go on like this, and we're about five times, I can't remember all the things. And then he says, you're James against Tommy, my son.
Oh, James.
He put Tommy up against, and I was stupid enough. So I said, what do you mean? I get the holiday, I get your car, and I get Tommy. And he said, yeah. So we flip a coin, I've now got Tommy.
The Road Show. On Radio 1.
And there was Reed as well as Wright. Mike Reed, the DJ who steered the network's flagship breakfast show for the first half of the 80s, and the man who took the road show's jolly japes and stitch-ups to a whole new level. In fact, it became somewhat of an art form.
You're explaining what's happening, then a record, then the denouement where a sad and bedraggled Smiley Miley is dragged out of the water, covered in frogs and tadpoles and crabs, and saying, oh, you never saw that coming, Reedy. So it's a bit like a three-part play. But you have to explain it for everybody at home. Otherwise, they're just hearing people laughing and they feel excluded.
Smiley Miley's band has been covered by the Fire Brigade. Oh, my goodness me. Oh, what a drastic turn of events. You got too close to the Fire Brigade's foam machine and they've tried to put you out as well. You look like a large 14-stone melted ice cream.
I am a melted ice cream. Oh, I feel like a giant cornet in a moment.
You smell... Oh, I'll get you one if you like. You smell like a giant sheep dip.
All this was usually at the expense of Smiley Miley, but sometimes the tables would be well and truly turned, with one stunt especially springing to mind for both of them.
I stole your guitar from your bedroom.
Yes.
Please come.
You thought it was a prank. You drew it, your guitar all out, and that. And
well,
you
I thought it was serious because I had breakfast and. Paul Williams, who of course never panics in any given occasion, he said, "Oh, someone's broken into your bedroom." And I got there, and bizarrely, there were telltale footprints on the windowsill. That's a bit too much, a footprint on the windowsill, and the window open, and my guitar gone. And he called the police, and they came down, and she said, "Could you do a drawing of it?" And I said, "Well, it's a guitar." And she got me to do a drawing. She said, "Oh, could you do it from the side? Could you do it from the back? Oh, it doesn't look anything from the back. It looks like the front without strings, you know." Anyway, she got me to do all these drawings of it. You know, absolutely pointless. And then we went through the bedroom and all the rest of it. And then you...
I come back...
You actually got a guitar from, allegedly, from Kid Curl and the Coconuts.
That's right. You know, you went... No, what you did then, you went on stage at the warm-up and you told everybody that your guitar was stolen or whatever. So I then come on stage and say, look, Kid Curl and the Coconuts, they've got this guitar. And you looked at it and you started playing.
I was encouraged to play early and I thought, I couldn't work that out, really.
And you said to me... Not very good, is it?
Well, I never felt more like running away. Why should I go? Why couldn't stay without?
That guitar had electronic charge in it, like you have in the security cases and whatever. I had it done by a locksmith in Bristol. And Paul Williams, the producer, I'm down in the crowd and I've got this remote control like you'd have a remote control car to me. And there, and I froze. And Mike's playing his guitar and I go there. All I've got to do is press that switch. I just froze. And they're going, press the button, press the button. I pressed the button and all of a sudden this red smoke poured out.
If I can talk through the acrid, choking orange smoke that has just come out of the guitar, that has just blown up in my hands... In the middle of the song, just when I was getting carried away, the guitar blew to pieces, and I'm shrouded by orange smoke, and I'm sure that stunt wasn't put by Kid Creel, was it?
It certainly wasn't, folks. It was by Dear Smiles.
And all these naughty little antics were gaining the most unlikely of fans, not least... The Duke of Edinburgh.
We'd done the Million Mile Walk at Buckingham Palace, so he'd come up to me with the equerry, as you know, and said, he said, which roadshow were you doing this year? And I said, West Country, I think, sir. And he said, oh, good. What stunts you got lined up? I thought, wow, this is amazing. 2 weeks later, I'm doing his 70th birthday, and some of the BBC hierarchy are there. And they said, don't approach him, don't approach him. Oh, fine, I won't. And then after about 20 minutes, he came and said, don't you want to talk to me? I said, well, yes. Come on, then, let's get on with it.
It's fair to say that all the Radio 1 DJs brought their personality to the roadshow stage, but for some, like Gary Davis, it was a role they excelled in.
You know, Gary's still performing now, you know, great show on Radio 2. He's in Ibiza and whatever. He is the party guy, the disco great there.
One of the greatest live operators.
Live
operator.
You know, to me is that you had Roscoe in the late 60s, 70s, Gary was the equivalent, if you want to say. You know, young, free and single teachers. I'm not saying the other DJs, but some come out more who wanted the party, if you want to say.
Now then, today on the roadshow from the Recreation Ground in Swanage, we will be doing the cultural quiz. We'll be doing bits and pieces.
I absolutely adored the roadshow. And I loved hanging out with the team. It was just like an amazing team. Smiles and all his goody crew and, you know, the producers, the security guys, everything. It was a travelling circus. You know, we would move from town to town. And it was just a very special week. It was so much fun.
And time now for bits and pieces. So I suppose first it's only right that we meet our victims here. First of all, we've got Carol Morgan. Hi, Carol.
Hello.
Where are you from?
Stevenage in Hertfordshire.
Hi, you having a nice day?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, I love your Radio 1 T-shirt.
Thank you.
A lot of my colleagues, I think probably most of my colleagues, when they did the roadshows, would sit behind the roadshow desk and play records and treat it like a they are in the studio, except people watching, and then they have a few guests performing in front of them. And I just thought, this is a live entertainment show. People need to be entertained. So I never operated on a roadshow.
Never, ever.
Ever. I had my engineer or my producer operating,
And I was there at the front of the stage.
It's Radio 1.
At 2.30 today, why not join myself, Peter Powell, Bruno Brooks and Gary Davis for the Radio 1 Fun Day at Haydock Park Racecourse. There'll be aerobatics, a motorcycle display team, a fun fair, and a special appearance from Captain Sensible and Spandau Ballet. So listen to us on Radio 1 at 2.30 or come along in person. Tickets are £1.50 for adults and 80p only for children. The Radio 1 Fun Day out at Haydock Park at 2.30 this afternoon.
And that Radio 1 Fun Day in 1984 marked the first appearance on the roadshow for Bruno Brooks. So naturally, it was an unforgettable experience for him.
Well, there were 50,000 there that day, and the traffic jams all the way back to Liverpool and everywhere else were just insane. And my family were desperately trying to get there, well, yeah, and they never actually made it.
Yeah, that wouldn't be too far for them on a normal day to get, of course, M6 or whatever, you know.
But that was one serious event.
What was the mileage one more time?
41 miles.
41 miles. Now, we've got three contestants on the stage. Your name is?
Sharon Peoples.
Right, 41 miles. How long did it take us to travel 41 miles?
An hour and 35 minutes.
An hour and 35 minutes, that's your guess. Hello, what's your name?
Savine Poland.
Okay, and you would travel 41 miles. How quickly could you do it?
An hour and 25.
An hour and 25. All very close guesses here. Hi, what's your name?
James Ford.
Can I see you down the front there earlier on? Okay, and how long do you think it took, 41 miles?
An hour and 15 minutes.
An hour and 15 minutes. All right, smiles.
Well, it was 1 hour, 22 minutes.
Whoa!
I think the young lady was the closest with 1 hour, 25 minutes. So she wins the Radio 1 goodie bag.
Thanks very much. Congratulations to our winner. Thanks very much to Smiley Miley!
What was great about the road show is that it was consistent. You know, it truly was not just the radio station and the personalities on the road. It brought a lot of fun and laughs with it, a lot of wind-ups, Reedy and all the stuff he was doing. But also the brand. You know, it extended the brand into reality. You know, it was very rarely did you ever have a chance to get involved with the heartbeat of Radio 1 outside of a radio set.
The Road Show, on the road again. Radio 1.
Celebrating half a century since its debut in 1973, this is my Radio 1 Roadshow at 50 on the BBC. From the 80s into the 90s, the Roadshow became, well, huge. Not just the sheer scale of the operation, but also the ambition behind it. The natural progression was to take it abroad and make it truly international, which turned out to be a terrifying experience for Simon Bates.
We ended up in Berlin with the road show just by the Brandenburg Gate and a bloke shooting at me. And I remember Claire saying, "Someone's shooting at you, love." And I said, "No, but the idea of someone shooting at me, what a ridiculous idea." And then one of these little pellet things hit me, and I did what any good broadcaster would do. I screamed, "Get off the stage," and we all ran for our lives.
Okay, so it was a little bit of a hair-raising experience when Simon visited Germany, but Mike Read and Gary Davis had a much happier time when they popped over to France.
The Two Towers, from Blackpool to Paris.
Yes.
When we took a Rolls-Royce with a stick of rock on it,
yeah,
a rock and roll tour.
Yeah,
somebody's bright idea for charity,
And it was the largest stick of rock
ever,
and we had Radio 1 all the way through it.
That's
and
right.
We took it to Paris, didn't we? Under the Eiffel Tower,
yeah.
And then we did a program, didn't we? Going up
all the way through from Blackpool to Paris,
yeah,
all the way down to Dover. We did one in Dover, I remember, on the way over.
At the turn of the decade, breakfast fixture Simon Mayo and his crew were delighting crowds, and like others before him, he definitely had a favourite patch of UK coastline.
Normally, I ended up getting the southwest of England. I used to ask for the southwest of England because it was such a great place to do the road shows. But I used to love doing those.
So that would be, what was that, Torquay, Falmouth, is it? St. Ives, that sort of area.
St. Ives all the time.
Bude.
Bude, Penzance, St. Austell.
Here we are in St. Austell. Hello, gorgeous. Hello, locals. Say hello, tourists. Yes, welcome to the St. Austell Roadshow. Special guests today appearing on the stage and performing for you at home later include the very gorgeous Nick Hayward.
I think this is Mike Reed's line. It's the closest you got to being a rock star because you were on tour. You know, you did a show, you packed up, you moved on, signed some autographs, stayed in a hotel. Usually, just for about the hotel that we'd stay at would be somewhere where the producer could get a rate, and a rate whereby he could make a bit of profit on his expenses. So even though there would be like 40 quid a night, we'd stay somewhere for £14 a night, so that everyone can make a bit of money.
I think it's the closest thing that a DJ then would ever get to being a pop star. I mean, the crowds were huge. I mean, we were doing it some places, you know, over 30, 40,000 people.
And it's a radio show.
It's a radio show, and we're DJs. I mean, nowadays, obviously, you know, DJs are the superstars, and they are playing big crowds like that. But back then...
And people say no, they probably say to you as well, they said to me, but you guys, some of you, maybe you, Peter Palmer, myself, they said, you were as big as the pop stars. You were, you know, and they built you that way because you're doing TV, you're doing Top of the Pops, you're doing Radio 1, you're doing the road shows, and they sort of built you in that way where they hadn't before and didn't afterwards. So it was quite a golden
period. It's true. I mean, you know, as the road show got bigger, we ended up taking security. I mean, God bless him, Jerry Judge.
Jerry Judge, and you know, a lovely man.
We had the same security guard that...
Looked after Frank Sinatra.
Frank Sinatra, Johnny Depp. I mean, he later looked after all the big Hollywood superstars, but at the time he was looking after all the biggest pop bands.
First hopped on board with Simon Mayo, the feeling of enormity and prestige when taking centre stage on the roadshow was not lost on Jackie Brambles either.
Being a part of the Radio 1 roadshow, it was surreal. You would have to run from wherever the base camp was that everybody was in, talking about the editorial content of the show, to the actual stage that had been set up. And we had these sort of bodyguards, security guys, a lovely Irish guy called Jerry was always with us. And at that point, he would hold your hand and run you through the crowd to get to the roadshow. Now, that just felt like being, I felt like Madonna at that point or something. That was great fun.
Today, live from the Clock Tower Car Park Rail with Jackie Brambles and Simon.
I think I did the Welsh leg one year. That was amazing. I've got a very vivid memory of being in Tenby and it pouring down with rain, absolutely bucketing. And we managed to persuade everyone to just stay and dance in the rain. And we all got absolutely soaked. But it was a magical couple of hours that you had the crowd with you on that day. And I suppose my other really special memory from being a part of the roadshow, I managed to talk Johnny Beerling at Radio 1 into letting me take the road show when I was doing the Scottish leg over to the Isle of Arran, where my parents lived. And amazingly, he agreed to it. So it was the first time that had ever been done. We had to negotiate with the ferry company because they had to lay on masses of extra ferries to accommodate the hordes of people coming over from the mainland to the island. People were camping out in fields across the island. Wet, Wet, Wet agreed to come in and do a live gig alongside the roadshow. So they helicoptered in. The sun shone. It was just the best day. And people on the island are still very nice about it.
Well, hello, Arran, once again. I'd like to say hello to all the listeners of Radio 1, be it in your car, your office. How you all doing?
Radio 1, Roadshow, the right sound.
And for Gary Davis, one highlight above any other comes easily to mind.
The 1FM Roadshow.
Today, live from Mark Eaton Park, Derby, the 21st
I had to sort of say what was the one standout moment for me, and it was the 21st anniversary of the Radio 1 Roadshow, and they asked me to do it, and it was at Mark Eaton Park in Derby.
Yeah.
played at high volume.
And it turned out that all the motorways were gridlocked. People were desperate to get to the roadshow, and they couldn't get to that roadshow. And we had about 75,000 people inside Mark Eaton Park. And had there not been roadblocks, it would have been even bigger. So, I think that's probably an amazing memory.
All that's left for me to say on behalf of the DJs and crew, both past and present, listeners and audiences alike, is thank you for 21 years of the Roadshow, and Smiley Miley, this is your life.
And then I got a big red book, which was like the old This Is Your Life book, right? And we played the This Is Your Life music, and we went through all the horrible things that he had done on the Radio 1 Roadshow. And I wasn't alone, because Fluff Freeman was with us as well.
Fluff, of course.
Fluff, bless him, did the first ever Roadshow, didn't he?
The Roadshow continued to entertain the masses right through the late 90s, with the last ever full week of broadcasts concluding in Brighton on Friday, the 27th of August, 1999. It was replaced initially by the network's One Big Sunday, which led to the big weekends, which the station is still famous for these days.
Go where the happy people go.
And that's almost it for our 50th anniversary celebration. So it's only fitting that the final words are reserved for the heartbeat of the Roadshow, its custodian, my pal, Smiley Marley, who preserves its legacy with an obvious sense of great pride for the enjoyment it spread wherever it went.
My Radio 1 Roadshow at 50 on the BBC.
And I know in the latter years that, you know, a lot of commentators and people said, oh, you know, the Roadshow is just a bucket and spade at the end of the pier. Well, if you want to call it a bucket and spade at the end of the pier, we didn't do bad when you had 10 million people listening, you know, and the economy, what we brought, do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And it was the biggest, it was the biggest travelling radio OB in the world. And I still say that now. There is nothing. And we used to have European radio stations would come and see it, and they'd come to me and say, can you build us a roadshow like that? Could you do merchandise? I was on, had many, many offers to go wider as a business, but I didn't think that I could do anybody else proud bigger than what we'd done for Radio 1. And Radio 1 was the ultimate.
The Roadshow. My Radio 1 Roadshow at 50 was hosted by Sean Tilley. The archive consultants were Johnny Beeling and Smiley Miley, with executive production by Dave Ackie. The programme is part of the My Radio 1 series for the BBC.